Welcome to Soundscapes, the podcast. I'm your host, Domenico Ponturiero, and this is a podcast where we're going to talk about instrumental music and introducing my co-host on the next Soundscapes radio show, which airs Mondays at 10 p.m. And today, my guest is Tyler Gillespie. Hello, Tyler.
Hi.
I invited Tyler to come on this show because this is, I guess, the holiday special. And Tyler and I have been friends for a really long time. For how long now? 20 years?
I mean, I'm only 24.
Right. Okay. <that's...
laughs> Yes.
Right.
Well, 25, I forgot.
Life. Yeah.
For most of your life. Yeah.
But Tyler, you are an accomplished writer, poet, author from the St. Pete area. You live in St. Pete now.
Currently.
But you grew up in the area.
Mm-hmm. In Largo.
In Largo. Good old Largo. Let's talk a little bit about, I want people to know the breadth of work that you've done. You've done a lot of nonfiction about Florida. Why don't you talk a little bit about some of your favorite projects from the past?
So I was a journalist for about 8 years, and I was covering a lot of like culture and music, environmental stuff. And then I started focusing on Florida probably in 2015. I was writing about it before then, but really focusing on it. So I was writing for different publications, and then I ended up turning that into a collection of essays called The Thing About Florida, which you can get from the University Press of Florida.
Which is a good read. I highly recommend.
And that collection, the essays are about like the history of alligators in this state in terms of it as a symbol, but its commercial and kind of industrial impact. And then Civil War reenactors, just kind of like the weird but interesting ways of getting into iconic Florida symbols. Yeah,
the way I like to describe it, of course you can shut me down if this is not a good way to describe your book, but when I describe it to people, I like to describe it as it's a way to come to peace with aspects of Florida that you might be embarrassed about when you talk to somebody from outside of Florida. And instead of being, you know, self-deprecating or being like, oh yeah, that's embarrassing, it's kind of a way to own those things and understand them fully so that it brings humanity and a little bit of sense to those aspects of the state. Because we're a very misunderstood state, I think.
I love that.
Is that a good take?
Yeah, that's
take?
Great.
That's,
yeah,
my,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
What I got from
that's
it.
That's great. So. Right, because I'm a fifth generation Floridian and kind of being, for a long time, and I think currently still, we're like, my punchline in the country. So just thinking about how to kind of humanize the state and the people that I love, the places that I love, but also there's a lot of stuff going on here that's not great. So not just glossing over the history and the presentation kind of struggles.
Yeah, your work is very, I find your work very meaningful, which I think resonates a lot with people, right? There's a lot of meaning that you bring to things, and I really like that. Even in your poetry is like a lot of depth to it.
Thank you.
I'm not gonna just gas you up this whole podcast.
You
it's
can.
Just this first part. We are gonna talk about music.
Perfect.
But I wanted to people to understand the kind of work that you've done and what you've mean to the St. Pete literary scene, because you're also very involved as well. You've done events at Tombolo Books. You've done lots of different workshops across different platforms and venues in St. Pete. So we're very lucky to have Tyler here. You should check out his work anywhere you buy books and on Instagram at
Tyler _ Gillespie, but the E is a 3 because I think that's funny. I have books of poetry. Florida Man Poems is my most recent collection that also thinks about Florida from a kind of kaleidoscopic view. It's like got humor, some playfulness in it, some visual poems. I was looking in old newspapers in like the 1930s. They were talking a lot about poetry in Florida newspapers, which I think is so fun. So yeah, that's kind of the range, and my teaching kind of emerges from that practice and also my visual art as well.
Do you, when you're working, when you're writing, what kind of music do you listen to?
Ooh, I love that question. Okay, yes. I love the Interstellar soundtrack.
That's Hans Zimmer, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So what's...
He's good. He's one of my heroes.
Good. But what's so good about that one is I like the way it builds. So it starts off, you know, kind of gets you in the mood. And then it, like, once you're, like, really in it, maybe 25, 30 minutes somewhere, it starts to ramp up. Like, you know, you're hitting your stride. So I like Interstellar. I also like, there's this Parisian cafe mix that I like to listen, depending on what I'm writing. And if I'm trying to be like fun and flirty, I have this like Parisian cafe mix that I like to listen to because, you know, you hear about like listening to music during when you're writing, and different people have different approaches, but I don't like something that has a lot of lyrics that I know, because then I might start singing or being distracted. But French, I don't speak French, unfortunately, right? But that helps with the music. So they're singing in French, but I don't understand what they're saying.
So it kind of acts like another instrument to you.
Exactly, right? Okay. So I've been doing that. Those are my two kind of go-to historically what I'll be listening to. And then I'm most recently got into this mix. So I listen to stuff on YouTube, which I think is a very millennial like playlist. Like, you know, I'm not really into Spotify that much. So I have all these things, but this playlist came across my way the other day. It's called This Playlist Will Find You.
Okay. And it did find you.
It did. And it's like upbeat music. So it's kind of like disco. Okay. And I've been listening to that because I'm currently writing a novel.
Is it instrumental disco or is it actual disco like Bee Gees?
No, instrumental.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's really fun. And it's like I'm writing this novel, I'm revising, and I'm like, it's a more upbeat kind of scenes that I'm writing. So I've been into that.
Maybe we'll play some of these songs on the show on Monday.
They definitely play disco at holiday parties. I mean, the ones I want to go to.
Right. I think I agree. Do you have any favorite holiday tunes?
I love Grandma Gone Over by Reindeer. No. I was thinking about this.
That is very much a you song because it's like kind of like got this like folk. It's got a story.
It's, you know, narrative.
And it's fun and it's silly.
It is fun and it's silly, but it also has a powerful message, right?
What's
it's
the like, message, Tyler?
I've been thinking of like, Grandma got run over by a reindeer coming home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's it, right? But it's also like justice for Grandma. Well,
oh, because nobody believed her?
Nobody believed her. Believe women. Believe grandmothers. I was thinking about this, so I had this memory. We used to sing carols, like my mom and her friend would get the kids and we'd like go to houses, you know, and just like knock on people's doors. I don't know how they organized it or thought about it, but we would sing songs, Christmas songs. And that was one that always stuck out to me. We didn't sing that one, but we would listen to it on the way. So yeah, I don't know if people even listen to that song anymore. I haven't heard it in a long time.
It might be offensive.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's not offensive to me, but.
I mean, I don't know. It's connecting to my childhood.
It's a bit violent.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. I think like when we really sit down and analyze and think objectively about the lyrics, it's problematic.
Yeah.
And I'm here to right those wrongs. So I love that song just for the nostalgia. I also love, I don't know what it's called, but I think it's the one that people really dislike. You know, it's Simply Slay Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. I think it's called that. I think so.
I know what song you're talking about.
I was trying to think of who sings it. Should I look this up? And I didn't have time. I want to say it's Paul McCartney or something like that.
I was also going to say, is it not Paul McCartney? I don't know.
I love that song and I didn't realize people didn't like it. I like it. It's kind of like a vibey mall song that you want to hear.
I think it's a fun song. I think there are way worse songs. I think Sleigh Bells can get really irritating.
And then my favorite, I love Santa Baby.
You like that song makes me a little uncomfortable
because she's like, I want my bag, right?
Yeah, it's also like this weird sexy Santa thing that makes me uncomfortable, but yeah, it's very materialistic.
Yeah,
but what about the materialism?
She said, you know, I need my bag, I need my nails done. Like, honestly, tell a man what you want and then let him decide. She's just saying what she wants and he can make his choice. She's being, you know, upfront.
She's being real. She's not hiding what she needs.
I just think that song is so funny. And then I remember like Eartha Kitt, like I heard Eartha Kitt sing it. Uh-huh. It's just a funny song. And I like songs that have humor in them. Like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I like Santa Baby. I like that.
So you like, you enjoy the kitsch of the holidays.
I do. I love it. I love Christmas music. I think it's cool.
Well, we're going to play some Christmas music on our show on Soundscapes this upcoming Monday at 10 p.m. But it's going to be instrumental music. So we will not be playing. I don't think there's an instrumental version of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
That's a shame.
It is a shame. It is a shame. But we will play some other songs. I have some songs by the Florida Orchestra. I try to keep it local too on my show. So I try to play as many locally made instrumental songs as possible. And on a normal week, it will be all local artists. So I'll play some stuff from the Florida Orchestra. They have some holiday tunes.
You know what else I like? I like normal Christmas songs too. You know what I've been really liking though? On Instagram, they've been having like Christmas, like trap music. I like
Christmas
when
trap music.
Trap, you know, and it's like they have Christmas dance music. I like when it's a little bit more upbeat. No, trap it's music. Very good. I'm into it. Like Frosty Drip is a good one. Frosty's Drip.
Okay,
look that one up.
All right,
I think that's instrument, like no lyrics.
And for those who don't know what drip is, it's like jewelry, right?
Yeah,
I mean, just so that I want to make sure. Oh, right, yeah. Know. That's what this is. Mm-hmm. It's like is there a double entendre because he's melting?
Probably. I mean, I don't know. Now I'm like, a drip, yeah. I will let people, listeners, imagine the drip.
Okay. It's up for interpretation.
I mean, because overt sexuality.
Yeah, me neither. Especially not with Frosty. Although there is that sexy Frosty.
Hot Frosty.
Is that what it's called?
Please put some respect on that Hot Frosty. Yeah, I mean,
it's a Hallmark film, right?
No, you're getting all the details wrong.
Is it not?
It's a Netflix original, okay. But it is very Hallmark like vibey. But okay. I think it's more Lifetime than Hallmark. There's a really serious distinction, in my opinion.
Okay, why don't you break it down for those listening? I'm a huge fan of this genre of film because I feel like a lot of films and TV shows have gotten way too gritty, way too serious for way too long. Mm-hmm. And I need to just sit back and just enjoy myself. And these movies do it because they're simple. Go ahead and tell us about what a Lifetime original movie is versus a Hallmark movie, particularly holiday ones.
So this is how I think of them.
Okay.
I like Hallmark movies. I watched a lot of them growing up. And they're going to have some maybe, you might get a kiss. Lifetime's edgier.
Oh, it's a little edgier.
You might get a whole makeout, maybe even something.
Right. But not edgy to the point of like the, you know, like a lot of what's happened out there where there's like a lot of drugs.
It's euphoria.
It's not euphoria.
It's not euphoria.
Okay, that's what I don't want.
But it's, you know, Hallmark is pretty buttoned up. Lifetime is a little bit more unbuttoned, you know.
Okay.
And so that's
a
why
little steamier.
Hot Frosty, right, was Netflix because he's, you know, you've seen it. He's
haven't seen it, yeah, but I've seen clips from it. So for those who have not, who don't know the premise of, it's called Hot Frosty. Is that really what it's called?
Yeah.
It's about somebody sculpts a snowman to look like a shirtless man, like a handsome man.
As you do.
And then that snowman comes to life.
Right.
Right.
And it's good in the sense that it's bad that it's good. You know what I mean?
That's kind of common in both of these genres, in both the Lifetime and the Hallmark films.
But I actually think Hallmark is... I think they are good. I'll be brave. Full stop. They're good. Because people hate on them so much.
Yeah,
they do. But they're good because they know what they're doing and they execute it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Super well.
Yeah. They've created a whole genre, so I
so you have to look at it through the lens of what they're trying to do commercially or artistically,
right.
I think.
So for those listening, your assignment is to go home and sit down and watch one of these films.
Probably everybody has. I also just want to say, like what you like. Like the music that you like. Don't let anyone judge you for it. If you like Hallmark movies... We need more joy. We need more sleigh bells.
That's a great message. Now, I'm going to end this podcast with a question that I've decided that I'm going to ask all my podcast guests. And the question is, what music inspires you the most?
In what way? I think what inspires me is Charlie XCX.
Okay. All right.
Brat, no, listen. Brat is inspiring to me if you've met me in the past couple years, you probably know this. I love Charlie XCX Brat because of the way that it is crafted, the way that it makes you want to dance, feel your feelings. The way that she's been doing this for a long time. Hold on. She started like making music when she was like 15 or 16. And she's had such a consistent like point of view, even if it hasn't necessarily been mainstream or really like hit. And maybe she's like, I wasn't really doing what I wanted. She had a point of view. And so that's fully formed in Brat. And I just think that it's really inspiring for someone, because she's a little bit young. She's a millennial, but like a little bit younger than me. And I find that inspiring as a writer to just see someone who's been going for 20 years and still pushing herself sonically, lyrically, but she's still messy. She's like, I still want to have fun. And like, that inspires me, because I think we're all, at least for me, it's like, we want to be good and we want to have our image a certain way. And yeah, she's crafting her image, but she's also like, I'm being messy. I'm doing whatever she's doing, you know, in the club, partying, having fun, getting her heart broken.
Right.
And that's poetic to me. That's inspiring. So Charli XCX.
Okay. That's a fair answer. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for joining me on for this special holiday week. This upcoming Monday, we're going to be hosting Soundscapes together. It's going to be a special sort of holiday themed soundscapes. We'll be playing some hits from the Florida Orchestra. We'll play a piece from Interstellar, since you mentioned
Heck Interstellar. Yes. Yeah. So good.
We'll play that, and we'll see what other holiday tunes we can muster up.
Yes, thank you for having me, and have a happy holiday.
Have a happy holiday. Listen to Soundscapes Monday at 10 p.m. Tyler Gillespie will be joining me, and we're gonna have a great time.